Midshipman by Murray Leinster. Chapter 1. Calhoun regarded the communicator with something like exasperation as his taped voice repeated a standard approach call for the 20th time. But no answer came, which had become irritating a long time ago. This was a new med service sector for Calhoun. He'd been assigned to another man's tour of duty because the other man had been taken down with romance. He'd gotten married, which ruled him out for medship duty. So now Calhoun listened to his own voice endlessly repeating a call that should have been answered immediately. Murgatroyd the Tormal watched with beady, interested eyes. The planet Maya lay off to port of the medship Asclepius 20. Its almost circular disk showed full size on a vision screen beside the ship's control board. The image was absolutely clear and vividly colored. There was an ice cap in view. There were continents. There were seas. The cloud system of a considerable cyclonic disturbance could be noted off at one side, and the continents looked reasonably as they should. And the seas were of that muddy, indescribable tint which indicates deep water. Calhoun's own voice, taped an hour earlier, sounded in a speaker as it went again to the communicator and then to the extremely visible world 100,000 miles away. "Calling ground," said Calhoun's recorded voice. "Medship Asclepius 20 calling ground to report arrival and ask coordinates for landing. Our mass is 50 standard tons. Repeat, 50 tons. Purpose of landing? Planetary health inspection." The recorded voice stopped. There was silence, except for the taped random noises, which kept the inside of the ship from feeling like the inside of a tomb. Murgatroyd said, "Chee?" Calhoun said ironically, "Undoubtedly, Murgatroyd, undoubtedly. Whoever's on duty at the spaceport stepped out for a moment, or dropped dead, or did something equally inconvenient. We have to wait until he gets back, or somebody else takes over." Murgatroyd said, "Chee!" again and began to lick his whiskers. He knew that when Calhoun called on the communicator, another human voice should reply. Then there should be conversation, and shortly the force fields of a landing grid should take hold of the medship and draw it planetward. In time, it ought to touch ground in a spaceport with a gigantic, silvery landing grid rising skyward all about it. Then there should be people greeting Calhoun cordially and welcoming Murgatroyd with smiles and petting. "Calling ground," said the recorded voice yet again. "Medship Asclepius 20. It went on through the formal notice of arrival. Murgatroyd waited in pleasurable anticipation. When the medship arrived at a port of call, humans gave him sweets and cakes, and they thought it charming that he drank coffee just like a human, only with more gusto. Aground, Murgatroyd moved zestfully in society, while Calhoun worked. Calhoun's work was conferences with planetary health officials, politely receiving such information as they thought important, and tactfully telling them about the most recent developments in medical science as known to the Interstellar Medical Service. "Somebody," said Calhoun darkly, "is going to catch the devil for this." The communicator loudspeaker spoke abruptly. "Calling medship," said a voice. "Calling medship Asclepius 20. Liner Candida calling. Have you had an answer from ground?" Calhoun blinked. Then he said curtly, "Not yet. I've been calling all half an hour, and never a word out of them." "We've been in orbit 12 hours," said the voice from emptiness. "Calling all the while. No answer. We don't like it." Calhoun flipped a switch that threw the vision screen into circuit with the ship's electron telescope. A star field appeared and shifted wildly. Then a bright dot centered itself. He raised the magnification. The bright dot swelled and became a chubby commercial ship, with the false ports that passengers like to believe they look through when in space. Two relatively large cargo ports on each side showed that it carried heavy freight in addition to passengers. It was one of those workhorse intra-cluster ships that distributed the freight and passengers the long-haul liners dumped off only at established transshipping ports. Murgatroyd patted across.